It's hard to imagine a time when oil wasn't king, but Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen wasn't looking for black gold. He discovered the fabled Northwest Passage through Canada. He also went bankrupt and died a broken man while on a flight to rescue some crew stranded in the Arctic. Amundsen's rescue plane and his body were never found, but after more than 80 years, one of his famous ships is finally coming home to Norway. Alina Simone tells the story.
It's a task worthy of Amundsen himself. Persuade the Canadian government to relinquish a legendary shipwreck. And not just that, use never-before-attempted methods to raise the hull from an Arctic seabed and tow it all the way back to Norway. But when the Norwegian company Tandberg decided to bring Maud home, they found the right man for the job. Jan Vangor, world champion windsurfer and builder of Viking ships, among other things.
There is no sort of professional word for it, I guess. It's more like I'm a land artist or something like that.
But when Jan asked the Canadian government to release Maud, they turned him down. Hey, Amundsen didn't reach the South Pole on his first attempt either. Vangor persisted, arguing the ship was of intrinsic significance to Norway's heritage. Maud was built by Amundsen himself, who's considered by Norwegians to be...
like a superhero, you know, in the early days. And he was known all over the world, so he represented Norway.
The Canadian government relented and ruled in Vangor's favor. But now he had to raise a wrecked ship, weighing hundreds of tons from its shallow resting place about a half mile outside the remote Arctic settlement of Cambridge Bay.
And you feel that if you look far in the distance, you can see the North Pole.
Jan's been trying to raise Maud for 3 years now, a task complicated by the short summer season. This year, when his crew arrived in June...
Maud was completely closed in the ice, and we started to dive as soon as the ice started to open, and then we've been working.
Come September, that ice will close back in. But Jan believes they are in the final stretch, and that soon Maud will rise again with the help of five guys and some really big balloons.
But it's a very slow process because the balloons are really big, and we have to attach them in a way so the Maud can be able to be lifted in a safe way.
Given the complexity of the task, Jan says he wasn't given a fixed budget or a deadline for bringing the ship home. And not everyone is in a hurry to see Maud leave. The citizens of Cambridge Bay have been gazing at its skeletal outline across the water for decades. Here's Zachary Townsend.
There's nowhere else you can really go and just see a piece of history standing out like that.
But Maud is more than just a landmark. The ship helped build the town, literally.
There's no real trees or any source of wood up here, so what a lot of the locals did when they were building the town is they actually took pieces from the boat itself, and they used that to build their houses.
Looking at it that way, I guess Maud will never really leave Cambridge Bay. Jan says he understands where the locals are coming from. He feels a connection to Maud, too.
When I saw the ship first time, I obviously had... it was very emotional, really, because it's a huge ship, you know, and in the beginning, I felt very humble. This is the ship, and this is what we're going to bring home, and the ship is like the heart of the story.
The reverence is kind of ironic, since Maud was considered a failure during Amundsen's time. He spent 7 years trying to reach the North Pole, but he went bankrupt, and Maud was seized by creditors. It was only years later that his team was recognized for the scientific research accomplished during those years crisscrossing the Arctic. Maud, in the meantime, was used as a floating warehouse until it sank in 1930. Tandberg now plans to build a futuristic museum back in Volund devoted to the returning ship. But first, Maud must be lifted from the seabed. The big question is when.
We don't think about it, you know, and we can't answer this question. People ask, is it happening tomorrow or after tomorrow? It's happening in the time span from now till the ice arrives, you know.
But what if they can't beat the ice, I ask, or their balloons just aren't strong enough to, you know, float the boat?
Well, I don't think like that. We will not give up, basically, so we will manage somehow.
An answer Amundsen definitely would approve of. For the World, this is Alina Simone.
And Alina's story closes our show today. The World comes to you from the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston. I'm Carol Hills, and we'll be back tomorrow.